The room was simply furnished. A couple of scavenged, tubular steel and plastic chairs, a folding card table with a lantern on it. There was a picture of the Virgin of Guadalupe on the wall in an ornate frame that looked like gold and was no doubt painted plastic. A tall figure wearing a foul loincloth and the head and cape of a wolf stalked back and forth across the floor, which had been formed by pouring blood into the dirt. Constant foot traffic had compacted and then polished it so that it looked almost like seamless maroon tile. Howling Wolf was gaunt, almost emaciated. The hollows of his face and between his ribs were accentuated by the streaks of blood, now dried and black in the lantern light that he had apparently poured over himself. Ryan could smell the stench of the rotting blood and hear the buzz of flies around him. As startling as it was, the bizarre apparition of the Chichimec prophet wasn't what caught Ryan's attention. Nor were the two bodyguards in his field of vision, a giant mutie with no hair, small pointed ears, and slits in a muzzle-like face in lieu of a nose, who held a Browning auto-loading shotgun, and a human armed with some kind of machine pistol with an extended tubular steel folding stock and front and rear pistol grips. What grabbed his eye instead was Felicidad Mendoza, trim and cool in camo blouse, shorts, and hiking boots, her copper hair drawn back in a severe bun and glinting like wire. She sat behind the table watching Nezahualcoyotl with a bland expression, as if he neither looked nor smelled the least bit out of the ordinary. They were speaking in Spanish, however. Ryan tapped whatever part of Doc it was that was close enough to reach.
"Translate. Keep it down, though, or we're both catching the last train for the coast."
"Surely, my boy. The frightfully bedizened specimen is saying, passed right through his flab. He should recover fully. Especially with the antibiotics I brought. The brazen hussy, highly appropriate term, given the color of her hair, says."
Ryan was keeping watch now, his blaster ready. There were still no signs of movement in the crooked streets nearby. Felicidad was apparently trusting her host to make the security arrangements, and he in turn was sloppy. Well, Ryan guessed, there was nothing like being surrounded by hundreds of literally bloodthirsty fanatic followers to lull a man into a sense of complacency.
"You trust your white coat technology more than our ancestors' healing wisdom?"
"Absolutely, where matters like preventing infection are concerned. That's how Don Hector will conquer all, by taking the best and strongest of the old ways and the new and bending them to his will."
"As you say. We shall continue to have use of the boy for so long as we need him. I cannot say the same for his uncle, though. The old man has grown querulous. I think it is time for our gods to accept his flowery sacrifice."
"That's your concern, if you can control the boy without him."
"The boy is used to obeying me. I'll tell him his uncle grew sick and died unexpectedly. It won't enter the brat's simple mind to doubt my word."
"So long as you're willing to stake your life upon it, since that's exactly what you're doing."
"Do not try my patience. Bad enough, Don Hector dishonors me by sending a mere woman to dictate to me without my suffering your impertinence."
"I'll have you know, I'm now Don Hector's sec boss, my dear father having earned his own flowery death. And don't forget, you are nothing but Don Hector's creature."
"Enough! Do you forget that Don Hector is far, and my followers are close at hand? If I give the word, they would tear your harlot's carcass limb from limb."
"Maybe. But if they did, I'd be sure to inform them loudly how you've been betraying them to Hector from the start, and how today they were supposed to be slaughtered after destroying the weak fools from the city, which I note you failed utterly to accomplish."
"The cowards hung back. I deployed the bulk of my men to fall upon them, as Don Hector directed. But when we struck the ranks of your valley troops, the city scum were nowhere to be found. Only when my men had turned to fall upon the flanks of Hector's force did the he-goats fire treacherously on us from ambush."
"It doesn't matter how you failed, only that you failed. Fortunately for you, your failure wound up costing us little. Don Hector and his Eagle Knights have slipped into the city and captured the full Tenorio. I myself took prisoner the red-haired witch woman and the black bitch before riding here."
Ryan gritted his teeth. He raised the 6-hour to press its muzzle to the crank. Doc checked the motion.
Not if you would live to rescue Christy and Mildred, my dear boy."
For a moment, Ryan's eye blazed like a lethal blue star. Then he swallowed and nodded. Doc resumed translating the copper-haired woman's words.
I couldn't help but notice only two of the Outlanders tied up outside. You are instructed to capture all four who remained encamped with the army.
The leader resisted and was slain. The commander of their raiding party has already given his heart to the gods for his ineptitude. The other, the older man, could not be found. My spies say he is given to bouts of confusion. Without doubt, he's wandering the night, befuddled.
Doc's eyebrows rose in indignation as he translated.
He is surely of no consequence. What would you have me do with the captives we did obtain?
Hector wanted that arrogant one-eyed dog Ryan to watch his friends tortured to death for the gods' delectation before he made his own sacrifice. Since he's dead, it doesn't matter what you do with the others. The important one is the witch with the red hair that moves like so many snakes. There's great power in that one. Her sacrifice alone should be enough for Huitzilopochtli to grant Hector immortality.
And what of me?
Don Hector will see you get what's coming to you. But beware of failing him again.
My Chichimecs were to lose to his triumphant army today, and so they did. Can I be blamed if every detail isn't exactly right?
Oh, yes.
What does Hector want of me now?
Hold your people in check. They can continue to ravage the countryside north of here as they will. Hector will no doubt wish to lead his forces in triumphal final battle after he's brought the city to heel.
I will try. There is great dissatisfaction after today's huge losses. The prisoners will assuage their grief and rage for a time, but they will soon be used up.
Then I'd advise you to concoct something extra special for the Outlanders. Tell your savages they're the witches responsible for your defeat. Use your roly-poly holy imbecile to twist their passions. I can't work out every detail for you. I need to get back.
Ryan thought about trying to snatch her as she left, or simply chill her. He dismissed the notion as soon as it entered his head. No opportunity in the vill, and as for racing back to the wag and trying to intercept her, though hatred for her boiled in his blood, it meant nothing in comparison to his need to save Christy and the other companions. Payback would be sweet, but would have to wait.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
Remember when you could go to a movie for $3.50? Graphic Audio is a movie in your mind, and it can cost as little as $1.70 an hour. For what listeners, authors, and critics are saying is the most sensational entertainment of its kind. There's nothing else like it. Call 1-800-670-5220 or log on to our website at www.cuttingaudio.com. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the container of this graphic audio book. Call 1-800-670-5220. See what's playing in your imagination.